Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
It is the Brett Winterbull Show, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Wonderful to be here with you. It's finally the sun came out a little bit here. It was pouring in the last hour. Be careful if you're driving out there. Roads are slick. You know the drill. Just be patient. Arrive alive. All that sort of stuff. I am endlessly intrigued by the way this White House is operating right now, and I'm dead serious, and I'll tell you about that in just a moment. But first, I'll be remiss if I didn't start off talking about something that happened here locally. Two teens have been charged after a one-year-old girl was shot in southeast Charlotte on Monday evening, the latest case of a youth in the Queen City becoming the victims of gun violence. Thank God the one-year-old girl was grazed by a bullet on Tuesday, yesterday. Police said they charged 19-year-old De'Aaron Truesdale and a 15-year-old boy who was also shot. That's a big deal. That's a big story. That is, I believe and I contend, that is a much bigger story than almost anything going on here locally. And we've become accustomed to just sort of hearing this each night on the newscasts, on television, the late local news, or first thing in the morning about violence breaking out overnight. And what I want to know is there as much energy being put into the remediation of violence on our streets in Charlotte as there is in going nuts about masking and super spreader events and things like that? You know, we have two crusaders right here in Charlotte. One works at Axios and one works at Channel 9. And they were largely responsible for the declaration of emergency that restricted your movements and what you could wear and what you could do and all that kind of stuff. They lobbied really hard for getting these masks put in place. In fact, you probably heard about that trailer that was driving around that had a snarky message on the side of it that said, you know, don't get the vaccine. And it was allegedly an advertisement for a mortuary. You know, it was kind of like a little dark humor about the COVID, because I guess we've moved into the era where the dark humor about the COVID is permissible, given 4 million killed around the world. And of course, 600,000 here. And, you know, the one that writes for Axios and the one that is over at Channel 9 loved on Twitter how awesome that message was. I don't think that's an awesome message. I think that's a tragic message. And I think two people masquerading as reporters who claim to care about the downtrodden and the people left behind here in Charlotte ought to be much more careful with the way they distribute their Twitter likes. They know who they are. I've mentioned their names in the past. I'm not going to do it because I'm afraid that, you know, I don't want them to feel badly about what they do. But here's the thing. There haven't been any super spreader events at the college football ranks. There haven't been any super spreader events at the professional football ranks. So I'm going to go ahead and count America 1, the panic press 0. 0. And so the reason I bring that up in the context of the toddler shot in Charlotte is this. You guys ought to go and track down the stories that actually impact humans' lives right here in Charlotte, rather than writing another piece about spicy hot wings and avocado toast and a great place to get some tea. And rather than, you know, standing outside at the scene of another car crash or chasing a politician because you want to get a quote because it's easy, why don't you guys dig into Charlotte right here? See, here at WBT, we're full service. We cover everything. Like, I'm going to talk about the border in a few minutes. I'm going to talk about why it is I think the border is failing. But I also talk about what goes on here in Charlotte. And guess what? We talk to all the communities in Charlotte. Axios, I don't think Charlotte Axios gets read by very many people. Not by the people who are actually looking to get answers from politicians that don't want to give them those answers. See, I could talk about Novant suspending 375 people without pay because 375 people violated the company's COVID-19 vaccine mandate. See, I could talk about that and the impact on the people's lives who got suspended without pay. But do you know what Channel 9 and Axios will do? They'll post something snarky on Twitter going, 375 Charlatans got suspended without pay. Yay! That's really tough. Oh, yeah, that's how you send a message. I guess what I'm telling you is this, and in a moment of full truth and honesty, which I like to bring behind this microphone every single day beginning at 3. I guess what I'm telling you is this. There are people who are pretending to be on your side, and then there are people who are on your side. Whether it's bullets flying in your neighborhood or you and your loved ones being punished at a school because of a mask policy or someone didn't get the COVID-19 vaccine in the right amount of time, and now you got 375 charlatans, some of them probably single moms, some of them probably single dads, some of them providing for their families, coming up on hard times. And you know what'll happen? The writer at Charlotte Axios will go, they lost their jobs. Isn't that great? But they won't go talk to them. They won't go talk to them. You want to know why it is? It's because there's two kinds of journalists and reporters in this world. There are journalists and reporters like the people we have here at WBT. You hear Brett Jensen with me every day. You hear him on with Mark. You hear the stories that Mark does. You hear the coverage that our team does right here at WBT. You know what they do? They actually do the work. And then you've got people who just get on the socials, look at what's trending, post a snarky comment, and claim that they're right there for the community. Be much more discriminating, not in the racial, sexist, any of that kind of way, but in the discerning sort of way. Be much more discerning when it comes to who it is you're going to trust to give you your news and information. Because these are people who are checking boxes each day and seeing if they're trending. Seeing if they're trendy, seeing if people are buzzing about them. They're also the people that'll bury these horrible stories that happen in our community. And they'll figure out a way to take an angle and they'll push the right buttons and write the right words, but they don't live it. See, here at WBT Radio, we live it. We love it. We love this city and we love the people that live here. And we are committed to getting you information, whether it's in Del Rio, Texas, or it's at the United Nations, or it's anywhere else around the world and right here in Charlotte. We're going to bring you that information because we've been here for a really long time. We don't just pop in and stay for a minute and then go out and pursue a bright, shiny object that we think is going to get people wagging about us. Nah. We live here. We work here. We are with you.
News Talk 1110, 993 WBT. It is the Charlotte Liberal Show.
This station drew me to Charlotte.
Let's go on the phone and grab a call real quick here.
And that's why Ryan is up first today. We're going to the phone.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Phone's early. Ryan, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Brett, I'm completely apoplectic right now. I mean, I just heard on the news, on BT, that Joe Biden is going to buy over 500 million vaccines.
Yes.
And give them out to the world.
That's right.
Okay, so how much stock in Pfizer does he own exactly? Because I would really like to know. Also, Brett, I want to buy every kid on the planet a bike, but I'm not going to use other people's money to do it. How is this legal?
It's what are you kidding me? This is the way business has been done for the better part of 50 years. He said it yesterday at the United Nations when he gave his big speech. He said that we were going to supply a bunch of medicine from around the world. Now, and I did hear the CEO of Pfizer earlier today, very early today, on one of the business channels, say that they were donating a bunch of doses to the rest of the world, too. So it's not like we are the only providers of the vaccines, but we do this all the time. Do you remember the Great Burma tsunami back in the early 2010s, and we sent over to the people in Myanmar who had been hit so badly by a typhoon. It was a typhoon, I'm sorry. Been hit so badly by the typhoon. We sent over manual abortion machines, okay? And because that's what we do. We run to the site of the disaster, and then we try to apply as much of our liberal causes as we can to the poor people who are suffering. Like, here's a great example. All these people that are coming up from Haiti, right? They're not coming from Haiti. They're coming from South America. They're coming from Brazil and Ecuador and Peru and Venezuela and wherever. Because they went there in 2010 when the other really bad Haitian earthquake happened. that the Clintons were built the global foundation to take care of the Haitians. They didn't do anything. They just grifted and grafted. And now they're coming up here. So this is what happens with American power. It's not like we're not even like the Dutch West India Company, okay, or the East India Company. We're like, we go out and we get something for all the investment around the world. We just take it in the shorts and then take it in the shorts a second time.
Well, it's not like the United States enjoys the benefits of these types of things, because what's going to happen, and that's why I asked how much stock Joe Biden has, and the people that vote on these terrible ideas, they get money on the back end.
Yeah, but they don't even. But the thing is, no, there's no vote for that. It's the government just says we're sending vaccines. Like there wasn't even a bill that went in front of Nancy Pelosi's Congress or Schumer's Senate. This thing just becomes warranted by Biden. He just warrants it. It's crazy.
Anyone that pays taxes is out of their mind at this point.
Well, yeah, come on. Don't be saying, I know you pay taxes. Don't be on the radio saying you don't pay taxes now. Come on now, Ryan.
I pay the taxes. They make me pay.
Well, there you go. Okay, of course. There you go. All right, Ryan. I get it. But you're right to be wigged out by it. But this has gone on for, we just left $85 billion worth of merchandise in Afghanistan, including stuff that the Taliban have no idea how to use. They just know they're going to sell it to the Chinese and get a big payday as a result of that. I want to give you a heads up on something that's coming up next week. All right. Next week, it'll be the middle of next week. I'm going to go to Washington, D.C., and I'm going to broadcast from the capital of these United States. And we're going to be there as part of the coverage that the Federation for American Immigration Reform puts on each year. And we're going to visit with the policymakers and the frontline people who are trying to manage this mess at our southern border. So we're going to be doing coverage in the middle of next week, live from D.C. The show will be the regular show that I do, but we're going to have additional guests, and I'm going to be there with them to be a part of that coverage, because it's such an important story to tell. Now that we know, finally, it's come out in the last 24 hours that we are repatriating about 150 people to Haiti who came across the border, but family units and pregnant women and moms with kids are all getting spread out around the country, sort of like what we've been seeing happening. And even though we can't get the real numbers from Alejandro Mayorkas, who is the Department of Homeland Security boss, we know the number is north of 1.5 million since Biden took office. North of 1.5 million migrants have come across that border. A very tiny percentage seeking asylum, the rest seeking jobs, money, and opportunity here in the United States. And this is why it is that right now, Joe Biden's approval rating stands at, I'll tell you.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Minute. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterble Show. So let's talk for a moment about what it is that's going on at the border. And I want to speak to a very specific component of what it is that's going on at the border. What's going on at the border is this is what happens when you have a president who stands on a stage in 2019 and is standing by the now vice president, Kamala Harris, on the stage. And they are asked straight up, are you in support of giving medical care to illegal immigrants? And they raise their hands as part of the group that's up there on the stage. The word went out long ago that the border was open. Okay, the word went out long ago the border was open. There wasn't much in terms of enforcement once Trump left office. Once Trump was on his way out of office, as we all saw, the move was on. Right, people started making the run for the border. Not making a reference to Taco Bell, but they were making a run to the border because they knew that there was opportunity coming to the United States. And so for this administration to then turn around and say, in essence, well, no, we didn't support this. We don't support this. We don't want this. They're being fictitious. They're lying. They're not telling you the truth. Of course they wanted this, because there's a reason why this is happening. And I'll tell you what it is. And it has nothing to do with like some of the theories that Tucker Carlson floats or other groups float. You know, you're about to say like the great replacement theory and things like that. The strategy behind bringing pain to the border is to do what? Why do you inflict pain as a negotiation? I don't mean physical pain where, like, you're beating somebody up. I'm talking about an unpleasant alternative. Why do you offer an unpleasant alternative? You do it because you want to achieve a specific outcome. This is what they were thinking. And I guarantee you, this is what Ron Klain, who is behind so much of the failed policies of this administration, was thinking. He was thinking, if we create enough pressure at the border, the people at the border will get angry and will then pressure and blame the people that they think are in the way of fixing the immigration system. They'll blame the Republicans. But that's not what's happening, because they've got bad intelligence over there in the Biden White House, in the Biden administration. They have terrible intelligence. Their intelligence tells them that Latinos and Hispanics and Latinx and whatever terminology you want to use based on the mores of the moment, they believe that, well, Latinos and Latinas, they're okay with illegal immigrants coming into the country because, I mean, that's the mentality that we're talking about that's coming from the left. That is absolutely wrong when you look at the poll numbers. Because if you go back to last week when Eni Tuesum Newsom got to keep his job as the governor of California, do you know what they found out? They found out that they're losing majority Hispanic counties like Imperial County, which is down in the southeastern corner of the state of California. It is overwhelmingly Latino and Hispanic. And the people that live there do not want to see illegals traipsing into their communities. The people along the border in Texas, where you're watching this play out, the mayor of Del Rio is a Democrat named Bruno Lozano. He's a Democrat. He's like a liberal Democrat. And guess whose side he's on now? Governor Abbott. All across the border. All across the border in Texas, New Mexico, southern Arizona, and into California, people who are living in those communities who may have been Democrats are saying, we don't want this. They're blaming the White House. But Ron Klain and the president and Vice President Harris all figured the answer was, well, if we just let a bunch of people in, it's going to create pressure, and they're going to then be carping to get an immigration, to get a Dreamer deal done. Pause the tape right there. Do you remember who it was that was trying his hardest to get a deal with the Dreamers? It was actually Donald Trump. And that was when Dick Durbin went and said that Donald Trump said mean things about countries around the world and he torpedoed immigration reform. President Trump was ready to do immigration reform, and Dick Durbin, because, well, I mean, he's just another political animal from Chicago, Illinois. Didn't want to see a problem fixed, wanted to see a problem manipulated. That's what you've got going on here. So this is why the border is so bad. 1.5 million have crossed the border. We got 200,000 people a month coming across that border. Now, do the math in reverse from when Biden took office. It was 8 months ago. It's 1.6 million. You still got a couple of months left in the year. It's a devastating disaster of a situation.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110-993-WBT, a story that you won't see pretty much anywhere else because I dug it up. If you see it on Fox, it's because they listen to this show, I'm telling you. Nancy Pelosi got a nasty greeting in England. Did you guys know about this? So she's over in England and is participating at the United States House of Representatives in the UK, participating in the G7 Heads of Parliament conference this week in Chorley, England, right? So she goes over there and she's meeting with these heads of state and all these other folks that are together. And she's been making the tour in England, and she's been kind of talking. She's been throwing shade at a lot of Republicans, at Trump, people like that. She said during a Cambridge Union Society conversation at Cambridge University, she said the Republican Party had been hijacked by Trump and had become a cult. She said, quote, I say to my Republican friends, and I do have some, take back your party. Then when she was pressed on the issue of the Uyghurs being in concentration camps in China, she said, yes, China has committed genocide against the Uyghurs. Having said that, the bigger overriding issue is the climate change conversation we're having with China. So yeah, it's bad that you got 1.5 million people locked up in a concentration camp, but we're trying to fix the climate. We got priorities. So that's how she is. I mean, she's just really dismissive. She's just really flip about these sorts of things. So when she was going into an event yesterday in the UK, she was getting heckled by British people. These are not Americans. These are British people. And they hit her with some nasty stuff. They even make Jeffrey Epstein references at her. I'm 99.9% sure that there's nothing bad in this, like dirty. So keep your finger on the button there, Josh. Here we go. Go.
The whole world knows that Donald Trump won the 2020 election, Nancy.
Nancy, Trump won.
We all know it.
Trump won.
The whole world knows. You're a fraud.
You're a fraud, Nancy.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
You're not welcome here. Scumbag. Scum.
Shame on you. Shame on you.
You're not welcome here! Go home!
Where's all the children, Nancy?
Get back to Epstein's island!
Trump!
Get back to Jeffrey Epstein's penal island, Nancy! We're all on to you!
Trump!
So there you go. There's some flavor of how Nancy Pelosi was being received over in England. How come that wasn't on MSNBC? How come I didn't hear that on Morning Joe? Why is Jim Acosted not playing that on CNN? I don't even think Fox is playing. I think if you see this on TV tonight, I'm telling you, they monitor this program. Okay, I'm just kidding. Ed, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, what I wanted to talk about was historically the last stages of a democratic republic as it's being destroyed is anarchy and mob rule, and we are now at that stage now. As I talked to a policeman yesterday, I said, what do you do when you see someone robbing a store? And he says, well, they probably don't know any better because they didn't have a father or this and that and the other thing, and we're not allowed to do anything with them unless we have a warrant.
Well, we're not in mob rule yet. Ed, we're not in mob rule yet. We're not in the stage of collapse. We're really not. If you look at this, the way the system is working, and your biggest test was that lack of a protest in Washington, D.C., that the leftist press and leftist pundits were trying to hype up that all these people were going to descend on D.C. and create a ruckus. None of that happened. Everybody I talked to that's on the opposite side of the Biden-Harris agenda is just waiting for the 2022 elections. And I know they're going to try to play games, and I get all that. But trust me, I don't think this country represents collapse. I think we're just getting to see what these folks will do to the country. And people are getting a really big serving of socialism, and they're getting to see what it's like. In fact, here's Garrett, who's right on point. Garrett, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brett, how are you today? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, so I want to just jump right into it and try to bring it for you.
Go for it.
So how come nobody's talking about Mike Lindell's 2020 election audit? Because I just heard last night on Rumble that the Supreme Court, I believe it was, agreed to take up the evidence by Thanksgiving and hear what they have to say.
So they're going to prove that it's all right. When they take that up, we'll talk about it. I know there's been a lot of gum flappery about what it is that Lindell's been able to pull off and this sort of stuff. But we've got to see what happens. So in terms of talking about it, when that becomes news, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm curious what's going to play out.
Well, you'll have to keep watching. I imagine if you keep watching Rumble, I've got a page over at Rumble. Keep watching and see what happens. Unfortunately, Lindell's predictions over the last 3-4 months haven't materialized in the way he wanted them to materialize, and that's been a challenge. So now we wait and see. I think we have to operate with an eye towards 22 and towards 24. But I've got an open mind, and I'll certainly consider if it becomes a conversation point.
Yeah, I'm curious who's going to report it if it does come out.
Well, I imagine a lot of people will report it. If the Supreme Court decides they're going to take up the Lindell charge, I imagine that will probably be in a lot of areas that will be covered.
Absolutely. And I got to say, too, one thing, shame on Fox News for not really reporting what's really going on.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Shame on Fox. I mean, I we'll throw some shame on them. I mean, I'm always willing to throw shame on Fox News. I mean, it's frustrating, and I'll tell you why it is. And I get that you're frustrated because he called in to say that what we're seeing with Nancy Pelosi is proof that people's eyes are being opened and they're waking up. You have a group of people that want to keep talking about the election, and you can call and talk about the election, but until you get movement, it's just a conversation. And that's the thing you got to remember, folks. You got to get some movement. You got to get some ground movement. Otherwise, it's just gum flappery.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT, Brett Witterbull Show. Hour number two now underway. And I take you to Wuhan in a matter of moments. Well, let's go there now. Wuhan scientists planned to release coronaviruses into Chinese bat caves 18 months prior to the outbreak. This is from Human Events magazine. Once upon a time, I used to write columns for them. According to newly leaked grant proposal documents, scientists in Wuhan were planning to release enhanced airborne coronaviruses into Chinese bats to inoculate them against disease that could be transferred to humans. The new documents show that just 18 months prior to the first coronavirus cases, researchers submitted plans to release skin-penetrating nanoparticles containing novel chimeric spike proteins of bat coronaviruses into cave bats in Yunnan, China, according to the Daily Telegraph. They also planned to create chimeric viruses genetically altered to infect humans more easily and requested $14 million from the United States agency called the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency to complete the work. Drastic, an investigation team set up to study the origins of the pandemic, released the documents and said in a statement, quote, given that we find in this proposal a discussion of the planned introduction of human-specific cleavage sites, a review by the wider scientific community of the plausibility of artificial insertion is warranted. The grant proposal also included plans to mix high-risk natural coronavirus strains with more infectious varieties. The DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, declined to fund the work. It is clear that the proposed project led by Peter Daszak could have put local communities at risk, the agency said, warning that the team had not considered the dangers of enhancing the virus. And now you know what happened all those months later, as that very thing appears to have gotten out and is run rampant around the world. And still, President Biden refused to hold the Chinese to account yesterday. Refused to even mention them by name. Cowardice? 704-570-1110. Here's Stan. Stan, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, sir?
Hey, Brett. How are you doing today?
I'm well.
Now, I want to tell you why we're having the Democrats are failing always, even when they got power, to come up with a solution to the illegal aliens and the citizenship problem.
Mm-hmm.
Even when Trump gave them everything they wanted, they turned it down, and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to redefine what it means to be a citizen here. They want it to eventually be assumed that you're legal if you're here.
Mm-hmm. So that
means that if you're a police officer and you see, you don't even ask anymore. If you show up to vote, you vote. You're just considered legal. And as long as they can keep people here illegally but functioning as legal and bringing more and more in like that, the better off long-term it is for them, because eventually we'll just give up and just say, hey, if you're here, you're legal.
So you're saying there's going to be a de-emphasization on citizenship and an emphasis on residency.
That's correct. That's exactly where they're headed. That's why they don't want to solve the problem. They want to keep it here like it is as long as they can, because we're not deporting them and they get to function as they're legal.
Well, that is true as it relates to the current state of affairs. But the thing is, they're on the wrong side in terms of the body politic. People want, especially in the wake of the coronavirus mess, people want an orderly border. They want a border that is functioning, and it's one of the top concerns that people have. This is climate change and defund the police are way down the list, but a functioning border and an economy that works, those are the things that are way up at the top of the list. So they are swimming against a tidal wave.
Yes, they are. But eventually, if you get enough people like that here, see, what will happen is there will be so many people at the bottom who are dependent on government. Because one of the things that's happening with these illegal aliens coming in is they are going to be taking jobs at the lower end of the spectrum. And so there will be so many. In other words, they're basically, instead of going overseas and transferring jobs overseas and going that
right,
route.
Right, right. Right. You're talking about labor. Right. You're talking about what they call the replacement theory. But here's the problem with this, okay? The problem with this is the dirty little secret for business is that they're eventually going to go to automation for a lot of the jobs, and you're going to have a massive underclass that's going to be unstable, and that's going to be a huge issue. If they're counting on going that road, that is fraught with peril, Stan. I appreciate the call. It's certainly something we can consider. And in fact, coming up at 20 past here, we're going to be joined by Ira Melman, who's with FAIR. And we're going to talk about what it is his organization is seeing taking place down there on the southern border. One of the overlooked components of this conversation, and it's a very serious component, is the scale of the human trafficking, but also the scale of environmental destruction that is underway, as you have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and now more than a million who have crossed that border in an unauthorized fashion, and they are traversing people's ranches, their property, and they're just leaving garbage strewn wherever they're traveling, because they're dropping plastic water bottles, they're dropping the carpet covered shoes that they use to try to go through the wilderness so that you don't get tracked by the authorities. I mean, it is a tremendous mess. If you looked at that refugee camp that was assembled underneath that bridge in Del Rio just in the last week, you'd be hard pressed not to notice that there is a ton of refuse left behind from people that have traveled into that camp, and there's basically nobody who's responsible for cleaning that up. A number of challenges. We'll talk about it straight ahead. 704-570-1110.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Happy to welcome to the program from Federation for American Immigration Reform, Ira Melman, who joins us on the line. Good to have you back on the program, my friend.
Good to be back. Thank you.
So we are getting ready to watch this event take place next week in Washington, D.C. It's occurring against the backdrop. This is Hold Their Feet to the Fire, against the backdrop of what it is that's going on at our southern border, a failed border, and standing in stark contrast to what it was under the prior administration of Donald Trump. Do you think the American people, by and large, get the full scale and scope of what a devastating failure and security failure this is, Ira?
Well, you know, it's hard to tell, because a lot of the media are simply ignoring a lot of what the Biden administration is doing and not doing down there. You know, it is only through outlets like talk radio and the internet that the full picture is seen by the American public. And that's why we're here, and that's why we're doing the Hold the Feet to the Fire event. It's precisely because we don't have a news media anymore that's really covering the full scope. And what is going on is a disaster. And, you know, nothing exemplifies that more than what is happening right now at the border with the Haitians, where you have people who haven't lived in Haiti for years coming across that border, and the administration has no plan about how to handle this.
One of the things that's striking to me, and it was something that, I thought President Trump got a bad rap for, and that was not having good relationships with foreign leaders. But he obviously was able to strike a deal with the Mexican government. He was obviously able to come to an understanding that, listen, if we secure it up here in the north, you're going to secure it in the south, and things will be a lot more stable. And it was a lot more stable. I think what most of the progressives, the left, the news media don't understand is you have a lot of countries that are being crossed that are being destabilized by these migrant flows.
That's right. The president of Mexico has been publicly critical of President Biden for his border policies. You have to remember that the people who are coming come across Mexico. They are being escorted across Mexico by criminal organizations. These are criminal cartels that are challenging the Mexican government for control of the country. They're becoming stronger and richer every day because of the Biden administration's policies. And President Lopez Obrador has told them to cool it. And yet this administration continues to make the matter even worse. You know, every day there's a new disaster practically. And it's not just Mexico that's upset with him. It is the governments of Central America who are saying it's destabilizing. So if you go right to the sources, to the leadership of those countries, they're telling our president that his policies are bad, not just for the United States, but for their countries as well. And yet we keep getting more of the same.
And yet you look at our department, the head of the Department of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, testifying over the last couple of days in Washington, D.C. He's asked a direct question by Senator Johnson, by Senator Hawley, by Senator Rand Paul. What is the exact number? And he claims not to have that exact number handy. I mean, this is worse than malfeasance. It's deception.
It is. Look, I'm sure Mayorkas can find that data if he wants it. He just doesn't want it to get out. And this has been the hallmark of this administration. They are doing things and trying to hide it from the American public. They don't want the American people to know the full scope of the disaster that they're bringing about here. And if he truly doesn't know it, then he should resign. If the Secretary of Homeland Security doesn't know what his department is up to, he probably shouldn't be secretary.
You have you have an incredible array of guests who are going to be joining the live programming next week. You also have an amazing talent pool of people who are expert in these areas. And one of the things that I like to highlight in this regard is especially the people who are on the front lines here, the people, the sheriffs in communities across this country, many at the border, but also some in states like Maryland and Virginia, who are also very concerned about what happens when you leave the border unsecured. The fact that people that cross in an illegal manner don't stay at the border, they travel across the United States, and with them the challenges come, whether it's drug trafficking, human trafficking, weapons trafficking, gang members, all that sort of stuff. This administration has done a very dastardly job of spreading people throughout the country to sort of hide the scope of this. Do you think we'll get any real answers in this regard, Ira?
From the administration? No, you're not going to get any answers from the administration. You'll get answers from the people who are coming to hold their feet to the fire because they're monitoring this. Their job is to get the information out that the administration is trying to hide. So, you know, I would not expect the administration to be any more forthcoming than they have been already. But, you know, thankfully, we have people out there at FAIR and a lot of other organizations that are monitoring this and are prepared to let the American public know what's going on.
We appreciate your efforts. We appreciate your time. The website is fairus.org, fairus.org. Look forward to seeing you in D.C., my friend, and thanks for spending time with us today.
Thanks very much.
Take care. That's Ira Melman over at FAIR. And I heard a very compelling call come in to Vince Coakley late this morning, early this afternoon. And it was a call from a man who was heartbroken at the loss of his son, who was 32 years old, and he had lost his life to fentanyl. We spoke about this yesterday in the third hour of the program. This is such an insidious and dangerous phenomenon that we are living through right now. And what is so complicated about a wide open border is this. Once upon a time, you could have vilified people and said, oh, look, you just don't want migrants coming in. You don't want immigrants coming in. You don't want refugees coming in. The reality is America is a country that was built on people who emigrated to this country to make it stronger, to make it more, you know, more welcoming, to make it more diverse. And all of those things are amazing. But the one thing we ought to all be unified in, and it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent or you don't really know what you are, we should all be unified in wanting to make sure that innocent people don't lose their lives either on a perilous journey coming northward from these nations in Central and South America, but also from countries around the globe overseas making an incredibly dangerous trek and paying a ransom money essentially to the cartels that are smuggling them, but also to those innocent people who are going to be exposed either directly or indirectly to these toxic chemicals that are coming into our country and killing our youth and killing our future. This is the heartbreak and the tragedy of what it is we're seeing today. Much has been made about the 1619 Project and critical race theory and all of those sorts of arguments that we have here in the United States. But do you know statistically there have never been more people held in slavery than right now worldwide? And by slavery, I mean people who are forced to work against their will, people held in sexual slavery, people held in commercial slavery, people who are being exploited and being exploited by transnational gangs, cartels, and other concerns. This ought to be the cause of the civilized world. And with it, a battle against cartels, and with it, a battle against the people who would also import the poison on an industrial basis into our nation to kill our children. That's the thing we ought to all be united on. But as long as you have people in Washington, D.C. who believe they're part of one team or the other and not part of the United States of America, we won't get to that resolution. And that is truly heartbreaking. If you'd like to be a part of the conversation, our number is 704-570-1110 on Twitter, at Winterbull Show, and at the Brett Winterbull Show Facebook page. I want you to be a part of the discussion.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. 704-570-1110. Looking at the coverage of this horrible story that continues to remain unsolved, and that is the death of Gabby Petito and the search for the boyfriend, Brian Laundrie. You know, you look at this story and you just say to yourself, how hard is it to get away from those who are pursuing you? And now the speculation has become the parents gave him the head start by concocting, allegedly, this is one of the things that's being supposed by people, they gave him a head start by essentially saying, yeah, no, we're not going to let him talk to you. You're not going to get to question him. We're not doing any of that. Yeah, too bad. And that may have given him a major head start. In fact, I was watching, of all things, earlier today, Nancy Grace talking with the folks over at TMZ. And her supposition was, yeah, it seems like they may have bought him some time to get distance away from where they think he is. And, you know, they're searching in that area, that swampy area where people, I guess, go for walks and stuff. They've searched a number of different locations. Supposedly there was a deer cam that caught him in the overnight hours. Somebody says that maybe they saw him out by Mobile, Alabama. The fact of the matter is, we live in an era in which you have never been more surveilled than you are now. Think about it. Think about what your smartphone is able to do in terms of tracking you. This individual has not yet been found. And but for the outsourcing of the effort to locate Gabby Petito's body by bloggers and travel bloggers and TikTokers and all these people, they would still be looking for her. But for that team of vloggers and travel bloggers remembering that piece of video that they had seen with the van, you'd still be looking for her. I mean, to me, this is an incredible thing. We all get very paranoid, and I think in many ways it's well-deserved that we ought to be paranoid because we are being surveilled, we are being watched, all that sort of stuff. And yet this guy just slips the net. The parents end up having the FBI raid the house. This guy's nowhere to be found, nowhere to be seen. I mean, I could ask you, what do you think happened? And I bet whatever you think happened has as much value to it as any of these so-called experts and pundits that show up on the cable channels trying to tell you what had happened, where it is, what went down, how it went down, all that sort of stuff. It's really, really incredible. When you consider, to take this back to Afghanistan for a second, when you consider how we tout the over-the-horizon strikes to take out bad guys, we end up taking out a family of people, 12, 13 people who lost their lives. When you consider that, when you consider the failing of the over the horizon, when you consider how difficult it is to pursue and to be effective in that regard, is there any doubt that there's a real challenge for law enforcement to try to prove that they've got the ability to do this? We think of the government as being all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing. Well, the reality is it's the tools that are the all-seeing and the all-knowing, right? It's the social media platforms. It's the cell phone companies and the cell phone towers. It's not the government. The government is merely an administration. It's an administrator of these tools, of these weapons that you can use. It's not that the government has all that power. It's that you have these immensely powerful corporations, multinational corporations, and domestic corporations who are able to harness the surveillance power and utilize it for whatever possible purpose. I remember when you go back to that horrible San Bernardino massacre that took place back in 2015 or so, 2014, 2015. And we remember the neighbors who didn't want to call the police because they were afraid they'd be labeled as racist because the family that was living in next door was doing all kinds of iron work and metal work in the middle of the night. And they were the ones who would try to assemble bombs and prepare for a jihadist attack. You know, you look at this sort of stuff and you say, okay, we are really good at fighting them on the back end, but not detecting them. It's just a remarkable state of affairs. And I go back to that San Bernardino massacre that took place. We were all horrified by it, watching it live in real time on television. And we remember Apple coming out and most definitely affirming that they would not unlock the terrorist's cell phone, because if they did that, it would be a slippery slope. And the FBI had to go begging to an Israeli company to open up that cell phone with third-party software so that they could find out who else was involved potentially in this terrorist plot. It's really remarkable. We have all this surveillance power. We can't find this kid. Or maybe he's dead.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. So last night, Ted Cruz, senator from the state of Texas, was talking to folks. I think this was over on Fox. And he lays out in amazing detail the scope of this crisis with the Haitian migrants that have shown up in Del Rio, Texas. It all started on September the 8th. And he gives you, between these two clips, he gives you a TikTok, so to speak, of how it is this emergency, this crisis came to be. This is cut number 17 is the first one. Cut 17. Go ahead.
The whole world knows that Donald Trump won the 2020.
No, what are you doing? That's the guy who's yelling at Nancy Pelosi. That's the Pelosi cut.
September 8th, there were between 700 and 1,000 people crossing illegally every day at Del Rio, and many of them would collect underneath the Del Rio International Bridge. On September 8th, the Biden administration had planes that were scheduled to go back to Haiti. The vast majority of the immigrants crossing at Del Rio are from Haiti. They had 900 people that were scheduled to be deported and sent back to Haiti. And on September 8th, the Biden administration canceled those flights and told everyone they could stay here instead. And what happened is those 900 Haitians, they pulled out their phones and they called their friends, they called their family, they texted their friends and family. And between September 8th and September 16th, when I was there, the numbers went from 700 to the day I was there, there were 10,503, primarily Haitians, underneath that bridge.
In 9 days, it exploded to more than 10,000. We know eventually it tapped out at about 15,000. Cut number 18, Ted Cruz, on this being a disaster beginning all the way back on January the 20th.
The numbers went even higher, up to 15,000. And there's a direct cause and effect. When you don't enforce immigration laws, when you tell people, if you cross illegally, we, the Biden administration, will let you stay, you produce the humanitarian crisis that we have seen every day since January 20th when Joe Biden was sworn in.
So it's been a continuing crisis. And so here came Kamala Harris, who was part of the folks who were upset when she saw people on horseback trying to kind of manage the migrant flow, and thus was born a narrative of whips being used against the Haitians. It wasn't whips. It was the bridle of the horses that were being held back because these horses were getting spooked by all the crowd building around them. You don't want to get horses panicked in that kind of a situation. And the folks that were on horseback were trying to manage it. But here came the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, offering her offense. Cut 20. Nope. Wow.
What I saw depicted about those individuals on horseback treating human beings the way they were is horrible. And I fully support what is happening right now, which is a thorough investigation into exactly what is going on there.
Nancy Pelosi came out earlier today and she said... She said of what was going on at the border that it reminds her of all the atrocities she saw during slavery in the United States. The reality of all of this is that Vice President Harris shouldn't be doing media availabilities in Washington, D.C. She should be down at the border because she was tasked with fixing the border. We all watched the assignment come down from the president there at a meeting. She took one road trip. She went down to the Northern Triangle and then to Mexico and never mentioned it again. Her job was to manage this. You know what her other job was? To make sure you could nationalize the elections. That has come up short. You know what her other job was? Pushing infrastructure. That's come up short. You know, the reality is, I'm starting to believe that we have folks in front of us who aren't about fixing problems. They're about fixing blame. Jim, what's on your mind, sir?
Hello, Brett. How are you?
I'm great.
Yes. I have a theory about the Great Laundrie and where he is and what he did.
Where do you think he is?
First of all, I think he didn't tell his parents the truth. Second, I believe that he said that they got in a fight and she took off with somebody else at the other, the Wyoming place. And so that's why they just sat there for a week. And then he said, she's in this Florida preserve where they're looking for him now. That's what he told his parents, that's where he's going.
Okay.
And he actually got on a plane and went to Costa Rica.
You think he went to Costa Rica? You think he has left the country?
Yes. Because that's what all young couples do. Is it's about Costa Rica. We're going to Costa Rica.
I don't know about that. That seems tricky. His image is world famous now. He's going to get spotted. And he started bald, right? So he can't glue hair on his head. He can't wear a wig. He started off bald. You could go bald after you've got hair, right? Or you could color your hair, but when you start bald, you're going to be spotted. So I think he's somewhere relatively close to where his family's house. He has to have some level of support. There has to be some support system for him. I can't imagine he's going to be spending a lot of time sitting in a swamp in September, late September. I think that's a difficult ask. My guess is he's someplace relatively close to where he's living or was living with his parents. And where that is, I don't know. It's entirely possible he's got a friend who's hiding him out. Not everybody knows who everybody's friends are. And so that's a tricky situation. Paul, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, hey, thanks so much for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
There's so much I want to talk about, and you've covered so much about it already today. So not to backtrack over covered territory, the border and the economy and all that kind of stuff. But one thing that came up the last day or two that I wanted to bring up that I haven't really heard much talk about is the American government has given up all technical and financial support for Israel for their Iron Dome program.
That's right.
Which is nothing more than a defensive program to protect Israel from their missiles.
That's true.
From missiles from coming from other enemies.
That's right.
And if there's ever a signal of what this government's current government stands for, it's not defending our best ally in the Middle East. And this is perhaps the most terrifying and disgusting thing I've really heard.
You're right. You are right. I will have comment on this, but let me suffice it to say up front here. This is what happens when you have anti-Semites running around making policy in the caucus. It's because Speaker Pelosi has no control over her own caucus. Details straight ahead. News Talk 1110 993 WB.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
It is the Brett Winterville Show. Hour three now underway. Lots and lots and lots of different stories out there moving as we speak. In a matter of moments, I'll tell you about the looming shortages that are coming our way, could make this season a sad season. They're already reporting it. I mean, this is unbelievable. It's terrible. You're going to want to stick around for that. But first, we got a big lecture from the Biden administration in these last weeks. And the big lecture was about how it was that we're going to stand with our allies. That we're back, baby. America's back. We're standing with our allies. And we saw that, right, with NATO, with the way we cut and ran out of Afghanistan and kind of stuck it to our NATO partners who were there. We saw it as we stuck it to the French with the nuclear submarine deal and the Australians and all that sort of stuff. But Joe Biden wants you to understand that we're back. We're with our allies and everything's going to be great and everything's going to be awesome. We're back as a country. You know, we're ready to be part of everything with everybody. Well, maybe, maybe not. The squad led a fight late last night. It was a tantrum, and it involved the funding of Iron Dome. Iron Dome is a strictly defensive missile system that is designed to knock missiles and rockets out of the sky when they are being launched against civilian populations in Israel. Essentially, it is a weapon designed to stop Hamas, Hezbollah, whomever, from shooting rockets into densely populated areas in Israel, resulting in the deaths of innocent people. Well, overnight, We saw that the squad was flexing their muscle. The squad, you know them, Rashida Tlaib, Ayanna Pressley, of course, Ilhan Omar and AOC. They stood up and they said, no, we are not going to fund resupply for the Iron Dome defense system. Now, you probably say to yourself, wait a minute, why would they not do that? Why would they not want to fund a defensive system or resupply a defensive system? Well, as the Jerusalem Post notes, the Iron Dome may ultimately receive the American funding it needs after progressive pressure led by Democratic Party leadership in the House of Representatives to remove it from a broader bill, then vowed to propose the aid as its own bill within days. But it doesn't mean that the drama surrounding it is over. Tuesday's events in the House should ring alarm bells in Jerusalem, and quite frankly, across the United States, that more trouble with the squad is on the way, even as public statements by Israeli officials try to minimize that problem. U.S. President Joe Biden's been promising Israel for months that $1 billion in batteries for the missile defense system would be forthcoming. He said it first in May at the close of Operation Guardian of the Walls, the latest round of war in response to Gaza terrorists shooting rockets at civilians. Jerusalem was satisfied with those promises and presented them as one of the prime minister's achievements in his first meeting with the president. Well, progressive Democrats then turned around and said they wouldn't support the legislation, which was mostly meant to provide funding that would prevent a government shutdown. It also included the Iron Dome funding. Interestingly, none of these progressive members of Congress has thus far identified themselves publicly. Politico reported that the same group that pushed to block arms to Israel during Operation Guardians of the Wall in May, which would mean AOC of New York, Mark Pocan of Wisconsin, Rashida Tlaib of Michigan. Well, they're not standing up and saying it's us, it's us, it's us. They want to have it both ways. They want to try to stick it to the Israelis, our ally, and they want to look like they're down for the struggle. Here's the deal. The influence of progressives in the Democratic Party is growing. Steny Hoyer, Pelosi, and Schumer are close to retirement. When you look at Ocasio-Cortez, Tlaib, and Ilhan Omar, they're at the start of their political careers. They represent kooky liberal districts. They're going to be the future of the Democratic Party, and what they're doing right now is they're flexing their muscle. They want to show folks who's boss. AOC, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, these folks believe that they will be the Speaker of the House, the majority leader. They will be the majority leader in the Senate. They will be the president pro tem. They will be all of these positions before all is said and done. And I want to direct you back to a conversation I had with you back on Tuesday. And the conversation was this. Beware of blowback. You cut deals with people. You become reliant on people. They get to then call the tune. That's what you're seeing from the squad. Nancy Pelosi will tell you up and down that she doesn't like AOC, doesn't like Ilhan Omar, doesn't like Rashida Tlaib, doesn't like the radical politics that they bring into the Democratic Party. But Nancy Pelosi could not lose Rashida Tlaib, Ayanna Pressley, AOC, Ilhan Omar, and Mark Pocan. You know why? That's five members. That's five members. And that is exactly the division between the Republicans and the Democrats. Nancy Pelosi may hate the squad, but Nancy Pelosi dies without the squad. And that's why she puts up with it. That's why Joe Biden will put up with it. And that's why little Chuck Schumer will put up with it. It's not about supporting an ally or not supporting an ally. I believe Israel is an ally of the United States. We were the first major country to recognize the state of Israel. But we also know there's an incredibly virulent strain of anti-Semitism that exists right through the Democratic Party. There are elements in that party that do not like the notion that Israel exists. And that is an ugly leftover notion still clinging to the days of the Soviet Empire, the Cold War, the blood libel that came out of the communist parties, and ultimately right out of Hitler's allies. This is something that ought not be negotiable. We stand with our allies. Nancy Pelosi, well, she understands who's calling the tune, and the squad is calling that tune.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Bo Thompson, this is the time of day when we cross the streams. I'm sorry, Huey Lewis and the news were not available for this segment, my friend.
Oh, Well, you know, they got to take a break every now and then. I get it.
It's good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good. Hope you are. Getting ready for Panthers on Thursday Night Football tomorrow night. I know it's 24 hours away, but I'm ready, man.
See, I'm a man who's torn because who are they playing tomorrow?
That would be the Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going with the Panthers on this one for sure. No, yeah. No problemo. Because the Houston Texans, I mean, that's a punching bag. I mean, that's, come on. You and I, well, you, me, and Zoki can go beat the Texans.
They will be the only team in the NFL at 3-0 for a few days.
You're 12 games away. No. You are 14 games away from perfection.
That's right.
That's all you got to do, man.
I mean, it's right there. It's right there for the taking.
It's one at a time. One at a time is all you got. Did you see this story? It's such a beautiful segue you did there, Bo Thompson. I know you did that on purpose. Things can get a little chippy even at the high school football games. Did you see this out of Ohio?
I did.
High school referees blockaded inside locker room after controversial penalty. They weren't just blockaded. They were blockaded with like a 500-pound soda machine that they pushed in front of the door that the angry assistant coach put in front of the door. What's going on with this?
You know, I mean, when I read this story and you texted me this story and gave me a heads up about this, I'm not surprised, unfortunately. But you know, my kids play high school sports. Mm-hmm. My kids have played, you know, sports all since they were, you know, peewee soccer all the way up. And one thing that never ceases to amaze me is, even at the 4 and 5 year old level, mm-hmm. How much, now I know in this case, this is a referee and a coach's dispute, but, you know, referees get heckled by parents at every level. Oh. And I just, to me, it all kind of falls into the, you know, referees are out there trying, I mean, if you've ever been called into a game as a parent to referee when a ref wasn't there yet or a ref didn't show up, mm-hmm. then you have a new appreciation for what these people.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt in my mind. This is a game that took place just 5 days ago, the 17th. Grove City High School and Central Crossing High School. Call made by a referee named Keith Dalton angered a Grove City assistant coach who stomped out on the field to argue with the ref. He then slapped the coach with a penalty. And to show his displeasure, after the game, the refs met in a room in the athletic facility to go over the game. They said someone pushed a large vending machine against the door of the room, trapping them inside. Took three guys to push it open to get out.
It's creative, but it's ridiculous.
This is the kind of behavior I expect from Bishop Sycamore.
Exactly right. Yes.
Are you surprised that story just evaporated and you never heard from them? There was no resolution of Bishop Sycamore?
Somewhere, the whole staff has been they're trapped in a room because a vending machine is blockading the door.
That's got to be what it is. That's it. It's 100% of the time. That's right. All right. This has been a rough patch for President Biden by any stretch of the imagination. Newsmax with new polling out. Essentially, you've seen the president go from a high water mark when he was first inaugurated at 61%. And remember, at that time, he wasn't just having high poll numbers. He had high poll numbers, especially on things like COVID. Now he's plummeted to 43%. Immigration is certainly a factor, but there's a number of them, including, of course, Afghanistan.
Well, the number, if you break down the numbers and start parsing these out, so he has 90%. Approval of Democrats, mm-hmm. which is down from 98% when he took office. Mm-hmm. He's got 37% of independents, and this is the number I think maybe that is the most telling. He's got 37% of independents right now. He had 61% when he took office. So if you look at, Democrats and they have 6% of Republicans. So that's the. We kind of know that's going to be with the territory, but when you're talking about the middle ground, the people that any successful politician's got to be able to tap into and sway, quite frankly, not only for the elections, but as he goes through office to be able to get things done within Congress, because Congress is going to pay attention to what constituents are saying. 37% down from 61%. Yeah, that's 24 points. I mean, that's to me a big deal.
And it's not likely you're going to make that up. I mean, because it's a lot easier to lose popularity than it is to right. rebuild popularity.
Exactly. So to me, it's always the top number, which is down, but it's the numbers within the numbers. And that middle ground is very telling to me among independents.
One of the other issues that's out there now, inflation is obviously very present. We're starting to see housing prices go through the roof. And one group of people who are now suffering as a result of that are your first-time home buyers. Existing home sales fall as Bidenflation pushes first-time buyers out of the market. What that also puts out of the market are people who are looking to relocate to other places too, right? Because you may be a first-time home buyer, or you may be at the younger end of the spectrum where you've got a younger family and you're looking to sink roots. You may be coming to Charlotte. You may be coming to our metro right here. And you may find yourself priced out of the marketplace. This is a real challenge because you certainly want to have a healthy economy when it comes to housing, but you also want to have an available supply of some measure.
That's a good point. And, I mean, look, you remember when you bought your first house.
Sure.
I remember when I bought mine. It's a leap of faith for most people.
Sure is.
You've got to step out on that ledge and have the guts to take that first step.
It's true.
And, you know, I it's one thing to do it where you have a job right now and where, or in many cases, where people have lived for a while. It's an even greater leap to go try to do it in another market. But to me, what I see here is numbers or pricing that not only prices certain people out of the market, it prices them from jumping from one place to another. And you and I both know that the relocation aspect of this is important too.
Yeah, that is huge. It's very complicated. If you've got to swing from the one trapeze to the next one, and it's got to be exactly timed right, that is a very difficult situation to work around, without a doubt. Finally, Bo Thompson, what do we have coming up tomorrow on the Bo Thompson Show? What shall we be on the lookout for?
Well, we got, of course, big day of getting you ready for Panthers football tomorrow
right.
night. We'll have Nick Wilson, who always joins me on usually the Friday before Sunday games, and in this case, it's the Thursday morning before Thursday night, but he'll join me at 7:50. Beth Troutman will be with me tomorrow. Several big announcements from the Charlotte Knights that are coming up, if you're following along on social media. Dan Rakowski, the GM and the head man over at the Charlotte Knights, they got their fan appreciation weekend, and their final homestand is going on tonight through Sunday. So Dan's going to join me tomorrow in the 8 o'clock hour. And then, of course, David Chadwick on Thursdays, Bill Graham on Thursdays. Always a lot going on the morning show on Thursdays. So I hope everybody can join us.
All right, let me ask you on the way out. I've asked you in the past, but I want clarification for this next story I'm going to do after we're done. Are you
tease, by the way. Hey, Bo Thompson's coming up next, and then Christmas is canceled.
Well, here we go. Are you a real Christmas tree guy or a fake Christmas tree guy? I forgot.
See, it's funny. when I was growing up, we used to, I mean, my family was big on the let's go to the mountains and let's cut down a Christmas tree.
Yes.
And we did.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed all that. And then I got married.
Mm-hmm.
And the first real argument that my wife and I had, well before we had kids, the first big argument we had was over the size of the Christmas tree that I selected, and we tried to get in the door of the apartment. And after that year, until we had kids,
yeah,
fake Christmas tree.
So fake Christmas tree, pink? Was it ever pink, or was it always green?
No.
Okay, good. All right, keep listening. I'm going to tell you how Christmas is getting ruined straight ahead, all right, Bo Thompson?
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. All right, so we're hearing about shortages that are looming as we get ready for Christmas. And I wanted to offer a clarification from Bo Thompson, who sent me a note in the update window. He said, one clarification, we had a fake tree for a few years, then started getting real ones again when we had kids. But now we buy it at the corner lot. No more treks to the mountains. That's what they do. And I respect that. Listen, I grew up with a real tree. Like, real trees were a big deal. And then when I moved to crazy, wacky SoCal, it's very hard to have a real tree in your house or apartment for like 4 weeks before Christmas, because it dries out and it becomes an absolute fire hazard, because many times on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, it'll be 85 degrees and people are going out to do stuff. So it's, you know, I understand, like, in that circumstance, if you're in a dry climate, you get the fake tree. I like the real trees. I just don't like the cleanup of the real trees, which is, you know, that's a whole other project. But here's the thing. The American Christmas Tree Association, ACTA, which would be the acronym, ACTA, warns of shortages this holiday season. Fires and drought in the Pacific Northwest have contributed to the live Christmas tree shortage in the U.S., with some Oregon farmers losing up to 90% of their crops this summer. Meanwhile, broader supply chain issues have impacted the artificial tree market. And the American Christmas Tree Association is warning that fewer artificial trees will also be available. That's a warning that we're getting. Thanks a lot, Biden. No, I'm sorry. I just made somebody really mad about that. There's also going to be inventory. Holiday inventory could be down. Toy shortages hitting us this Christmas. Store shelves during the holiday shopping season, Hanukkah, Christmas, and of course, Kwanzaa and Festivus. Just days after Labor Day, this has been announced. It could prove to be merry, but ever so tight. An inventory squeeze could frustrate shoppers, as 82% of retail executives surveyed are somewhat or very concerned about inventory shortages. I can't remember a time when the concern about inventory was that significant, said Scott Rankin, who is the national advisory leader for the consumer and retail team for KPMG U.S. Advisory Practice in Boston. Do you know what this guy, do you know what that guy's business card looks like? Here's what it says on the business card. You ready? Scott Rankin. Next line. Yeah. Scott Rankin. Next line. National advisory leader for the consumer and retail team. Next line, KPMG U.S. advisory. Next line, Boston. You need a scroll for that. You know, hear ye scroll. Last year, Rankin said many retailers feel being stuck with too many clothes and other gift items as consumers planned smaller family gatherings and limited their trips to the malls in light of the coronavirus. Even so, consumers shifted into high gear in December, and the National Retail Federation ended up reporting January that retail sales during 2020's November-December season hit an unexpectedly high 8.3% over the period in 2019. So what's going to happen this year? Shortages. Some toy makers are already sounding the alarm, Josh. I don't know if any of these are toys that you like, but I mean, this is empty spots on shelves. MGA Entertainment CEO Isaac Larian, whose company owns LOL Surprise! Exclamation point. And Rainbow High Dolls. That sounds like the title of a book that would have taken place like in L.A. in the 80s. Told CNN Business, there's going to be a major shortage of toy products this year. Well, what are we supposed to do now? If things get really tight, retailers know that in some cases, you'll just throw, this is a quote, you'll just throw 25 or 50 at something that can hold a bow. Shoebox full of 20s, always the right size. So there's going to be shortages. Do you know one of the reasons why there's a shortage? In addition to all this stuff, they're going to say it's the coronavirus, it's COVID and all that. It's the shortage of truck drivers. It is the shortage of truck drivers. And now you've got labor actions starting to take shape way out on the West Coast, where the stuff comes in from, as President Biden, Trump would say, China, where the China stuff comes in. You've got labor actions where now you've got people who want to charge more for the labor that's being needed to offload the ships. So this is going to get really expensive. It's going to get really competitive. And remember, in a market this tight, everybody's bidding against everybody else. So we will continue to watch that. Thank goodness I'm not seeing any reports of shortages on Christmas cookies or fruitcakes or peppermint candy canes.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Ladies and gentlemen, on a rainy afternoon, Mark Garrison.
It is rainy out there.
It's crazy. What's going on with this, Mark Garrison?
Well, it's... It's just rain.
It's rain. It's weather. What do you want?
I'm not going to say it's global warming. It's rain.
Shh. I'm going to call AOC on you now.
Okay.
So we've got this show called Charlotte at Six coming up.
We do indeed.
It's my favorite time of the day. And here's my question for you. Yes. What do we have coming up on Charlotte at Six?
We start with Mask Mania.
Oh, not this, really?
We've got an exclusive with the chair of the Union County School Board. She says, no, we are not going to require kids to wear masks in school, even though the Union County Commission publicly rebuked the school board last night. A lot of interesting politics in Union County.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah. Mecklenburg County also now has a mask mandate for churches.
Of course.
That goes into effect today. If you're preaching, praying, or singing, you got to mask up. We've been really pushing the county on, okay, how are you going to enforce this? We'll tell you about that. Seems like the enforcement's going to be pretty squishy.
I'm guessing that's what's going to happen, yeah.
Yeah. 620, I got a story that'll just make your jaw drop from our friends at Fox 46. Airport cops are absolutely free to steal your money.
Whoa, so they go through your bags and they go, hey, you got $1,000 here.
Yeah, if you fly and there's money in your luggage, boom, they can seize it, no questions asked. They assume you're a crook, and millions have been seized in Charlotte, much of it from law-abiding people, and they can't get it back.
See, this has got to change, because this is the ultimate in tyranny. I mean, this is full
terrible
tyranny.
Yeah, it really is.
Because you can't replace it.
We'll meet a guy who had $27,000 taken.
Yeah. Wow.
6:35, Success at 6 will tell you the best free thing you can do with your family, and the kids will love it and won't cost you a dime.
Oh, that sounds dynamite.
Absolutely.
Hey, back on that story real quick. He had $27,000, right?
Yep.
Did he check it in his bag?
He did. He had it in his bag.
Oh, no, what are you doing? Mark, I've got that in every pocket. I've got four coats on.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, as we'll learn, he was going through a real messy divorce, so he quit using his bank account because his ex kept draining it. So taking a trip, so he just took his money with him.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
Cop said, well, we'll take that. Have a nice day.
Wow. Tyranny. All right. Yeah. I'm glad you're doing that story. I appreciate you. All right. That's Mark Garrison, Charlotte at 6. We'll see each other at 6 o'clock.
Absolutely.
Appreciate you being there. That's Mark Garrison. That's insane. I mean, that is really 100% insane. And what that is, really, to be honest with you, is the long-term hangover of the war on drugs is what it comes down to. I personally would, and I know hindsight's 20/20, and I would never travel with that kind of money, cash, but I would have that in my pocket. I would have it in a wad in my pocket or in my coat or something. I'm not comfortable, truth be told, I'm not comfortable sometimes checking certain things in my bags that are like nice shoes or a suit, or there are things that I'm not comfortable checking in my luggage. I'm not putting my gold bullion in my luggage. Now, they could probably seize the gold too. Like, think about that. They could take your cash. Could they take your gold bullion? Could they take your very valuable baseball cards? Could they take your Bitcoin? No, they couldn't. You know why? Virtual wallet. That's the thing you got to remember. When I think about what the founders must have had in mind looking at this republic, and you think back to that very famous quote from Franklin Roosevelt, you know, all we have to fear is cash itself. Benjamin Franklin, a republic if you can keep it. There was never a time where people were supposed to have the power to take your property without due process. It just wasn't supposed to happen. And the idea that law enforcement does that and doesn't even talk to the guy or have a conversation with him about where it's from or what the story is or any of that kind of stuff. This is on par with, if you remember, in the early days of the TSA. When we were first experiencing the magic that was radical Islamic jihad on American soil, and we suffered the ravages of 9/11, and then suddenly you had to go through the airport checkpoints. And you'll remember as well as I do, there was a five about a 5 to 7 year period where the TSA inspectors were really nasty. And it felt, I used to talk to people and they'd say, hey, why are they picking on me, but they're not picking on those guys? Why are they picking on this, but not picking on that? And I remember being in an airport in Las Vegas, and I remember watching the TSA get so abusive with an elderly couple. And when I say elderly, I'm talking, these were probably people in their late 70s, maybe even their early 80s. And these were the sorts of people going through the TSA checkpoint where the wife was made up. She had made done herself up really nice and had her hair done and was obviously going on an important trip to see family or somebody and wanted to look her best. She wasn't wearing sweats and sneakers. She had her hair all done. And I remember watching as we had crossed the checkpoint and there was a wall between us. The man who was traveling was using canes. He had canes, and they got very jostly with him. They weren't showing the respect to these two, and it was so heartbreaking that people started talking out loud. They started saying, "Hey, you know, what are you doing? These are old people. They're obviously elderly. They don't have a bomb on them. You know, be a little more gentle." And you know, they gave them sort of the look. They're like, "Hey, you want some of this? I mean, you just keep your mouth shut. This is how we do business." We should never be that country that lives like that. We should never accept watching old ladies and old men. He was probably a war vet from Korea or World War II, watching them rough people up. The default position should always be innocent until proven guilty. Unless, of course, you know, you're obviously committing an act of crime at that exact moment. But let the people keep their money. I'm glad Fox 46 did the story. Can't wait to hear Mark Garrison cover it. Thanks to Josh and Anna and Boomer and Mark and Bo Thompson. And each and every one of you will be back tomorrow starting at 3. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT.